What's up, everybody? It is the Video Game Bang here, and I am Sir Aaron Carter for you. But we're not rolling any dice today, everybody. We're rolling doobies. Hotboxing it with some hot gaming news and a little ska music for you, right? A little ska? Okay. Don't forget to go to Twitter and follow us at Video Game Bang. We're on Facebook /Video Game Bang Bang. Become a Patreon today, everybody, and you can get the greatest ska music you ever heard played directly at your house by the Video Game Bang crew. Or not. I think that's like a $5,000 donation for that one. So, you know, if you want to, hey, I'm down. That's the impression that I get. Right? Huh? Nobody? Okay, whatever. Eric the Smoke Wren will not be here today. Sorry, everybody. He had some personal things to take care of. And as the nice guys we are, we let him go. We let him leave. He was here, and now he's gone. Right in Corey's mother's house. So, Corey will be at E3, of course. So, we got a lot of stuff going around for that. Oh, yeah, we're going to be at Wizard World as well, everybody. We got a panel coming up. You got to get to hear the Video Game Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real. I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Yo, 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 what's up, pizza? This is Corey Vincent. You're listening to Video Game Bang. And if you don't know, now you know. You are listening to Nerd Reactor's very own video game podcast based in Sacramento, California. We're thanking you for listening. We're thanking the panel for being here. Speaking of panel, he's more than a panelist. He is my co-host, my partner on this magical carpet ride. If we were ska bands, he'd be the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Welcome to the show, Aaron Carter.
What's up, everybody?
Just take it. Bend over and terrible. Take it.
And just for saying that, I will not take it.
You will take
there
it.
There it is.
Let's see. Aaron, how have you been, good friend?
I've been very well. USA beat Germany 2-1 in international football. And
international football?
Yes.
Like the NFL?
No. How dare you? You know, they won't, they,
it
for the
is,
longest,
national.
There is a World Cup in American football, and for the first, like, I'm probably wrong, you can Google it yourself, but like 5 World Cups, they didn't allow the U.S. to join.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah, and then there is rules. They can't play the NFL or collegiate football.
So
we have to send, and ever since they let us in, we've won every single one.
Wow. Joining us also on the show, he is full of false promises. You may know him from his writing on nerdreactor.com.
Checked.
Eddie Villanueva, welcome to the show. And if we were ska bands, he'd be less than Jake because, I don't know, as far as the show goes, he is pretty much less than Jake.
There's a band called Less Than Jake.
Yep.
Wow.
How you been, Eddie?
It was better up until that point.
Wow.
Well, you did kind of promise us this big get for an interview, which we'll talk about. And then you didn't deliver. What's up with that?
It's not my fault. I mean, we'll talk about what happened, but
I don't know. I kind of think it was your fault.
I got a question. Is in the band Less Than Jake, is the lead singer's name Jake?
No, that would just...
That'd be kind of a douche move there,
kill
wouldn't it?
All the irony, yeah.
I'm just saying.
They're all named Jake, actually.
Everybody's Less Than Jake. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
There you go.
Eddie, you've been doing a lot of writing for 2 websites now. You've been getting some stuff out there on Nerd Reactor. What's going on? What's the push? You joining us in the world of media, or what's going on?
I'm just finding stuff to write about it, and whoever picks it up. So, whether if it's for redcarpetreviewtv.com or redcarpetreporttv.com
.org.
.tv or Nerd Reactor. Either way.
Nerd Reactor, what are you reacting to? What I'm reacting to is the fourth man in the room. He is the redheaded bandit, the only ginger with soul, Alexander Van Beegenweiner.
With soul?
With soul. Oh, don't do that. You lost it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How have you been? We played, last I saw you, we played some D&D.
It was good. That was good.
You got a puppy in your life?
I do have a puppy. In fact, I actually had to go pick him up from the vet before I got here.
Oh, is the puppy sicky poo?
No, it's, he got to play with other puppies all day.
Oh, really?
Daycare?
Yeah. They have a... Yeah, they have like a daycare there.
Dope.
So it was pretty awesome.
Dope. Did you really just describe a puppy daycare as dope, Aaron?
Yes. Dope. What other way would you describe a puppy daycare?
Cool.
Pretty neato.
Neato.
This is exactly why I'm on the show, everybody.
Dope. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at
What ska
Game
band
Bang.
Is he?
Yeah.
If he was a ska band,
it's got to be a Swedish one, right?
Real Big Fish.
You know what?
Yeah, he'd be real.
Yes,
real
you
fish.
Are.
There you go.
Real
there
big go. Fish.
And I am your host, Sublime.
That's terrible.
Yeah, no.
That's terrible.
No.
Why don't you go ahead and get your gripe out now?
Okay.
Let everybody in on your little...
what's the name of the stupid website that does those lists?
So, give them back. Buzzfeed. Give them backstory.
Okay. Buzz. No, I don't know.
We were listening to music.
It's
your first
and,
mistake, honestly.
Exactly.
Ska comes up.
Ska you know? Comes up, and I'm like, that's... Oh, no.
How does
no,
ska
no.
just come
it didn't,
up?
It didn't
me.
Just
that's
come
not,
up.
No.
You were playing some song... Oh, no. Hong Kong Phooey. That's
oh,
what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, Hong Kong
you said, Phooey. You said Sublime did a cover of Hong Kong Phooey's theme song, and then you played it for me, and I was like, that just sounds like Real Big Fish to me, because I didn't know what ska was. And I was like, that just sounds like the group Real Big Fish. And then I played him Real Big Fish.
And I said, those
and
are
he's
posers.
He's like, that's just fake ska.
That's,
or whatever.
That's, no, I said that's fake Sublime.
Or that's fake Sublime
Which
or whatever.
Which is what all ska really is.
And so I was like, wait a minute. Not even how I know... A whole bunch of groups that sound like this. So I started rattling off, you know, ones that I used to listen to in the 90s. You know, Clueless soundtrack. You can go and look at all that bullcrap. But
I was telling him.
Then he was like, well, Sublime was just like the top.
They were the epitome of ska.
They were the Nirvana were. Of
yeah.
ska.
Oh, yeah.
So we go to watchmojo.com, which had top 10 ska bands. And they were like, number 10, Sublime.
And then I turned the video off. It lost all credibility.
That was terrible.
Watch
no
Mojo
number number seven
website.
Was like was the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, which I was playing for you there too.
You know what, Watch Mojo, you
Watch Mojo does good lists. Don't act like they don't.
They do good lists.
They get stinkers.
I think you were just upset
that ska
that
one was forced.
They were like Sublime.
Stick to WWE. Watch Mojo.
What was
Stick
the other
to
group?
To the top 10. You won't believe Undertaker moments.
What was the other group? 9/11 plus 11.
7/11.
3/11. Whatever the hell.
9/11
They're
plus 11.
A concert soon.
Well, yeah. There you go. I won't be there, but
with Pepper.
What?
With Pepper. Yep. Salt too.
Pots?
No, salt. Salt and Pepper?
Yeah. I think that's at Thunder Valley Casino.
Probably.
Wait, is it really with Pepper from Salt and Pepper?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, it's not. That's
I
how
was
I
going to say, that's
the
an
band
odd.
Pepper.
Yeah.
It's just that. Half yeah. of the song.
Yep.
That's it. We're
that.
Done. We're out, everybody. See ya. Don't push it.
Follow us on Twitter at VideoGameBang, Patreon.com/VideoGameBang. Twitch.tv/VideoGame_bang and keep it on Nerd Reactor's YouTube. We're going to have a video coming out this week of Aaron and I unboxing the power-up box. You'll have to watch the review to get our full impressions. But Aaron, in a summary, what did we think of the power-up box for our second attempt at it?
It's good.
Good?
There you
was
go.
Was it?
It was, I think it was just on par, if anything. It didn't really.
It wasn't a birdie. It wasn't a bogey.
Wasn't a bogey.
On par with what? The first one?
With the first one, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I would say it wasn't.
Really?
I like the first one better.
Now, are both of them on par for the price?
Oh, that's a.
You're going to have to watch it on NerdReactor.com.
There you go.
YouTube.
Is it still full of like random tchotchkes that don't belong anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I
bit.
Love stupid
you
things
love
like that. Oh, man.
Tchotchkes.
Alex loves tchotchkes.
Alex loves tchotchkes.
Joni loves tchotchkes. I get it. What else we got? We have
E3. Slit the throat.
Right.
Out of the joke.
What?
Just took it and red wedding the whole joke.
We are going to be at E3 next week. So keep it locked to us on Twitter. You can follow my personal Twitter where I will be tweeting pictures at Video Game Bang. And then my other one at RealCRV. Both of them. We will be trying to still do evening podcasts to try
evening
podcasts to try and keep you guys up to date on what I get to see, smell, taste,
gross.
Hear.
Like he's had a stuffy nose.
Yeah.
Feel. That's scary.
Last time we were there, Aaron, there wasn't a lot to smell besides a lot of sweaty dudes.
This conversation keeps getting more and more stuff.
Did you expect something new?
I don't know.
Did you expect a new debut of men's fragrances there?
Yeah, you know.
Somebody's got to come out with something to cover up all them geek smells.
I have actually seen tournaments and conventions where they've said, hey guys, seriously wear deodorant. Like, seriously wear it. Seriously, we're not
joking. We're handing it out for free now.
Yeah, like it's not a joke. Like, we need you to be clean at least once.
It wasn't so bad, I should say. Like, maybe in some of the areas, when you get to, like, the press sections, it wasn't so bad. But when you were just waiting in those hot, steamy lines. Yeah,
the people with, like, jobs there.
Yeah.
See, I never stood in a line really long enough. The only line I stood in was that one with...
And we didn't even get the payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney Infinity.
I'm betting that Aaron also didn't stand around smelling people.
Yes.
Like Corey does.
I do, yeah.
I kept it moving a lot.
Right. I mean, though, you can't really help yourself, but, like, be in a place and smell for, like, your surroundings, like, what's around you. Like, you take a sniff, and obviously you're going to smell something.
Do the Wolverine.
Where am I? Like,
they're near.
Judo.
Okay, wow. As you know, last week we may have promoted a guest interview we were supposed to have this week. We were supposed to be talking to Eric the Smoke Moran. He is a notable cosplayer. He is on the Wizard World circuit. He is also spearheading a very ambitious video project online called Trek Isolation, which Aaron was a little upset about.
Not really upset.
Jealous? No, let's get it right. You were upset.
I was more salty. Curious.
Curious.
Extremely.
Salty. You were a little salty.
He was salty, yeah.
He was a little salty.
What would I have to be salty about?
Well, because Eric the Smoke
all the
has
things you complain about
a star-studded cast in his project.
He does have a cast in his project, yes.
He has...
There's stars in it.
Oh, yeah. He is Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker is a very big name.
That's a huge
in my
name.
Opinion, he's a big name. Mm-hmm. He's a big name.
Katrina Law.
Lover.
I love her too.
Yeah.
And then Stan Lee. Stan Lee even has a cameo in this thing.
Who's Stan Lee?
Stanley. Stanley Comics. That's his
terrible.
Name.
Stanley Comics. Yep, right.
Stanley
I'll have
Comics.
To go look him up on the interwebs.
Eddie talks a big game. He comes up to us and says, Corey, I got this interview for us. Once a day, Eddie comes to me and says, Corey.
Once a day you do this?
Yes.
Once a day.
I don't know about once a day.
At least
man,
once a day. He comes up to me, hey.
It's like a lot, one a day, really. Yeah.
Do you know who Jimmy Pedro is? I have to go, no, Eddie. Let me Google it real quick. And I go, and it's like, oh, this guy held a boom mic on the set of a Power Rangers episode.
That's big news.
And, you know, we'll talk to anybody. So it's all good. But Eddie comes by and has this big interview with Eric the Smoke Moran.
Here we go.
And lets it fall through.
Let's it fall through.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I didn't let anything fall through. Unfortunately, Eric Moran has a family emergency today, and he was unable to come and show up on the show, which is totally out of the blue. I mean, who's going to expect something like this? I didn't personally go all the way to where he lives. Destroy one of his family members somehow.
Destroy a family member?
Or do anything
your aunt.
Causing him to not be able to be a part of today's show.
That's Eddie's side of the story. My side of the story is that he stepped on a butterfly and started a chain of events that somehow butchered this interview.
Ah. Well, you can take your opinion and shove it up your ass.
Wow.
Wow, we run a clean show here.
But
oh!
There you go.
What you playing? Good timing, what you playing theme song.
What you playing? What you playing?
All right, that is, of course, the What You Playing theme song brought to you by Kyle McGuire, Kyling the McGuire, every day of the week, 9 to 5.
We're promoting everything today.
Only in
when was the last
days
time you talked to Mr. McGuire?
I sent him a text yesterday.
He did not
yeah,
reply.
Yeah, but when did you actually, like, talk to him?
Yeah, I didn't get a text back.
He did not reply.
When did I actually talk to him? Oh, man, I had dinner with him, like, 3 months ago. There you go.
Oof.
Slowly
talk back. About friends.
Alexander Van Baggins Wiener, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Heroes of the Storm a little bit, just to chill out versus AI, honestly, because I don't want to have to stress out after work.
How has the game changed since launch?
It's launched? I don't know. There's going to be no real difference. The cash shop was already open, but in beta. Games that get released these days are never done. There's always more to add. So, especially in a free-to-play game, it's never It's never. I feel like it's never fully released.
No.
I feel like it's just. It's always. Hey, what else can we do with this? It's alive. It's not dead. How about that? So, release is it the full life. It's going to school. It's getting a job.
Have you noticed more of a meta appearing?
No, because I'm playing versus a dumb bot. It's
oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Chilling so out. I did play a little bit. I played 3 games versus humans. The first 2 went swimmingly, and we absolutely dominated them. The third one, which I played a couple of days after the first 2, we got raffle stomped. I got upset, and then I quit.
It always felt like in that game when we were playing, we either won like via murder, or we'd lose via
murder
destruction.
It is kind of weird how momentum-based it is. Comebacks do happen, can happen. I watched the tournament for it this last weekend, the release tournament with, like, all-star players and stuff. That was kind of interesting to see how people play the game, you know?
What did you notice? What did you take away?
Everybody plays Anubarak, which is weird. He was in every single game.
Really?
Yeah, and their talent choices are very, very, very particular. But... yeah, and I've been playing GTA 5 with my roommate, so we go out and kill fools together.
All right, cool.
And there you have it.
And if you want to play games that Alexander talked about, do it.
Go to his website, AlexanderPlays.
Everybody has a website these days. Yeah. Speaking of websites, Aaron Carter, what you been playing?
I was trying to play Ark.
Ark the Dinosaur game.
Like the survival thing. But my computer couldn't run it.
So you're going to play Fallout?
I played the Steam refund game. One.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it couldn't run it at all, or is it so crappy that it
was so crappy. The frame rate was like 1
isn't
every
that
4 minutes.
Pre-release?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wait. So you got to test out the Steam refund firsthand?
Yeah.
And did it work?
Yeah.
Well, right.
Played 31 minutes of the game. Played around with the settings to see if I can get, you know, a good, you know, like running of it and stuff like that. Lowered the graphics, you know, turned off this, rose that, and couldn't get it to run.
Wow.
Like, so, not even smooth. It was
so
always
based
just
on our conversation last week about Fallout 4 and you thinking you were going to play it on your computer. Now that you know that that's out the window.
That's not out the window.
It's out the window.
That lets me know what I need to do to get it.
So you're going to spend the money to improve the computer rather
so
than buy
this
the
is
console.
This is and this is what especially from
you got to make a commitment
said.
One
this
way or the
is
other.
What you said you were like when you texted you like are you even tweeted or something either you spend the amount of money to upgrade your computer that would cost the console or you just buy the console right that's basically where you were like
yeah
but I think that's an untrue statement
okay
so
whoa.
I said something,
Corey
untrue.
Said something untrue.
Yeah, he's already false. He's already wrong.
So, I can spend the money to upgrade the computer,
and he will.
And
I'll make sure of it.
Won't spend that same amount that I would have to spend to get the console.
How do you know this, Aaron?
Because I've already
because he's smarter than the average Corey.
Because I have the internet.
Okay. Well, so, what are you going to do? What are you buying?
I'm still undecided. But I
have
definitely
options. You have options.
I definitely have options.
I don't believe you know what you were looking at, first of all.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, go. I mean,
he's just looking at dog toys.
Yeah. So the Chewy
it's
20, bone.
It's 25
yeah.
bucks for
Boom.
The Chewy bone. I got
the Flimsy Frisbee is on sale right now.
So I think you should just buy a console.
Wow.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
This is the thing, too. Because when I bought my computer for the first time, it was only for editing. So it's spec'd for editing film perfectly fine, you know. And then it kind of just slowly, I start putting games and stuff on there. And it's not built for that. But it's just like, I can build it for that if I needed to.
We'll see. Stay tuned. Video Game Bang.
Yeah,
Aaron builds his computer. I want there to be some video on this. I want to see your journey from computer novice to grandmaster PC builder.
See, that's what I'm not going for, though. Grandmaster PC builder? No. I'm going for adequate gaming like rig. That's what I'm going for. Mm. I don't need the bells and whistles and blooms off of rocks and water and games for me. No. I play...
No one needs it. But once they get it,
yes,
they don't want to let go of it.
Oh, yeah.
But see, okay, so like think about when I had my console.
It's going to take Aaron 5 minutes. I could just see him wearing his socks... and just blowing up his whole rig.
No, wearing socks.
It's static.
Is that all he's wearing in Corey's mind?
Yeah, no, he's just wearing only socks.
In Corey's mind, that's all he's wearing.
Okay.
And then you
blow something. But like when I had my console and I had, you know, my big screen TV and HDMI cord.
Oh, wow. Rub it in, Richie Rich. Damn.
I didn't care about the graphics being the best then, too. Like, graphics never really impress me unless it's like,
but on a console you don't have any really real control over it. It's so wildly different. It's truly a very different thing.
I've seen like really good graphics on a good rig. Like Steven actually has a very good rig. He's paid out the butthole for that crap, but like I've seen good graphics on a computer and stuff like that, but it's just like I'm like, okay, that's cool. What does the game do? I can look at a pretty picture all day,
but they're not pretty pictures.
They are. They're pretty moving pictures.
They're moving pictures.
All right, Eddie, what you been playing?
Nothing much, really, other than just continuing with Black Flag still. Still been playing that one. Defense Grid 2, just to pass the time on the Xbox One. And actually, I got back into San Andreas.
San Andreas.
On the phone, right?
On the phone with a Moga controller.
That's the one with the rock and the earthquake and...
Yes, that's the one it is.
Remember to be his friend.
There you go.
Yes. Okay.
That's exactly how you survive.
He's less of our video game correspondent and more of our movie buff guy. So I should switch it to what you're watching, for when he's on the show. So what tell us about the movies.
Right now I'm binging on Sense8, a new series that was released last Thursday or Friday on Netflix. I'll be posting that review for that one on Red Carpet Report.
Like Senses?
Yes. Sense. S-E-N.
Or since there's eight of us.
Since there's eight of us, let's go fight crime.
Not since eight. Okay. Sense eight.
All right. So does this person have like eight senses? That'd be awesome.
It's eight different people.
Yeah.
And they all sense each other, and they each
have
right?
one sense?
No, they all have
that one. That would be crazy. We must have our power. Senses. They share senses?
I can't smell the food. Someone else has a sense of smell.
I think they already did that. Wasn't it called the Hear No Evil, See No Evil?
You mean with Richard Pryor and freaking...
Pryor and Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yeah.
He's Willy Wonka.
He is Willy Wonka forever.
Yep. Very boring guy in that interview, I tell you that.
Okay, speaking of that...
The dude has like... Doesn't he have like...
Well, I saw
Parkinson's
interview.
Or something?
No, he doesn't have anything. He's just extremely old.
Has anybody...
That's its own disease.
Yes.
Has anybody seen that article, just kind of side thing... That article that went out today about the Willy Wonka, since you mentioned Willy Wonka, what the schnozberries were actually in the Willy Wonka thing?
No.
So apparently there's an article that went out today that someone who actually did the research, and Willy Wonka, Roald Dahl, the actual writer of the book.
He used to call his testicles schnozzes?
You're not too far off. Because apparently... The book says, tastes like whatever. Oh, yeah, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries, and everyone's licking the wallpaper or whatever. So apparently there's a book that he made like 10 years later, 10, 15 years later, that says it's ultimately about these two guys that are trying to sell this rich man's semen to these other women. That's what the book's about. I have no idea what the title is, but I know that in that book they reference the guy's dick as a schnozberry. So when they mean the schnozberries taste like schnozberries, they actually mean that the kids were licking dicks.
Well, I mean, he did not like kids that much, so...
No, yeah, he's one of the most rabid child haters, I think,
in
cinema history.
But one of the greatest ones in cinema history.
He didn't
definitely.
Hate kids.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he loved kids.
He hated all of them.
You lose!
Even the winner. He hated Charlie.
Good day, sir.
Literally hated Charlie.
Yeah.
They didn't show the actual ending where they break through the glass and it shreds Charlie into so many pieces.
Turns them into ribbons and the Oompa Loompas come and they pick up the pieces, they eat it, and then they take them.
Yeah. That's only in the books. So if you want to see the real ending, read the books.
Yeah, okay. So it says in 1979, Dahl wrote a book called My Uncle Oswald. And in it, the term schnozberries comes up when a certain someone recounts his own experience with whatever. How did you manage to roll the old rubbery thing on him? There's only one way. When they get violent, Yasmin said, I grabbed hold of his schnozberry and hung onto it like grim death and gave it a twist or two to make him hold still.
And there you have it,
there
everybody.
There you go.
Grim
death. Enjoy your childhood.
That's the kind of stuff Eddie's good for on the show.
Hey, I try.
Wow.
Let's see. What have I been playing?
What are you playing, Corey?
Schnozberry.
You know,
with his Schnozberry.
And an awesome fan of ours and friend. I will go so far. He's not. He's a friend.
A friend.
He's a friend. Drescher.
He's a friend.
Friend Drescher.
Roger Howard, Mr. Howard 123 on YouTube, made me about a 30-minute video instructional on how to play Mortal Kombat.
Does he reference your name in the video?
Yes.
That is very personal.
That's amazing.
The video is talking to me directly, and he's great at instructional videos. Like, he should take his channel in a whole nother direction. I mean, I know he does do show combos, but the way he broke it down, he started at the very basics of the slang and stuff and the terminology that they use in Mortal Kombat.
I got to see this.
He went through and showed me the buttons and why they call the buttons 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of A, B, X, Y or whatever.
Okay.
Showed me all the little shortcuts in the practice hall, you know, where you can go and
Hall of Champions, okay.
Yeah, the Hall of Champions, yeah.
I don't know that.
No. Like the practice arena for Mortal Kombat, how you can program the AI to do things and just little shortcuts to put the buttons on the screen. And he showed me two or three just wicked combinations that are just insane and how to break them. He broke them down piece by piece.
Uh-huh.
And these combos are just ridiculous.
Hmm.
It's with a Kung Jin.
Did you actually put his teaching into practice, like online?
Not yet, because I can't even master the combo yet. Because it's like a two-part combo where it's got like, oh man, if I was holding a controller, I could probably still do it. XX, or let's see.
Nope.
One, one, one.
There you go. That's why you can't do it.
In case anybody remembers, one down, Corey was absolutely back, horrible
forward,
when we started
four,
streaming this.
Jump. Down four, and it's just like this crazy combination that spins around and it does like 32% damage. And he showed me three, so that basically, if you land these two or three combos in one match, you'll win.
Right.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to play it against people because I can't even do it against the bot. But
so, the reason why I was asking about his how well he does it, I guess, and because if you are trying to introduce this type of, you know, gameplay to somebody that doesn't really play, you know, video games, stuff like that. Do you think he made it?
No. I don't think he broke it down to...
Not that much? He didn't break it down that much?
No. You have to be a gamer.
If he were on ESPN... Jeez. If he were on the ESPN for video games, and they were like, we're about to play Mortal Kombat, and then he explains...
Parts of it were very applicable.
Okay.
Applicable. But so thank you to him for that. He says part two video will be coming soon.
Wow, he is a soldier.
Yeah, well, I told him when I go to the tournaments, I'm
for free?
Wearing... Yeah, for free. Wow.
For free?
Wow.
You should have make him a little bit more general and we can post him on the website.
Well, when I go to my first tournament, because I'm going to try this out in a tournament, I'm going to be wearing an
can
Ultra
you
Arcade
me when that
t-shirt.
Happens?
You probably shouldn't.
I'm going to wear his, I'm repping their brand.
Yeah, that's fine.
So he better be confident.
You should put...
Well, and plus, we're going to scrim
he
it.
You should wear an Ultra Arcade trainee. Yes.
There you go. That
no,
would be.
No,
yeah. That sounds a little
I'm
bit more appropriate.
No, because if you would, they'd be like, what the hell, Ultra Arcade? Why would I want to?
Maybe he took the Karate Kid approach. He took all the natural responses.
If you put on the bottom of Ultra Arcade on your t-shirt that says student driver, then boom.
There you go.
Then you can get away with it.
Well, see, this is going to be more than just a video series and me going into a tournament. We're going to actually play against each other, and we're going to. It's going to. I'm not going to go until Sensei says I'm ready. Essentially.
Well, Roger, I guess you're never telling him.
Yeah,
he's ready. Go.
I'm going to wait until. And if nothing else, just to beat the hell out of everybody I know will be worth it. I'm going to throw a Mortal Kombat party. You're all invited. And I'm just going to beat on you all for like
I'm
going to
take a nap instead.
And
of
you remember when we first started streaming it, you were the worst out of everybody.
I know.
Even David Webb beat you.
David Webb is a savant in some games. Did you see how fast he picked up Super Smash?
Well, he
beat Jada in his second game.
He played different than everybody else. He played to he literally played to win, first of all. And then he stuck with the same character over and over. And when everybody else was just throwing around, like, hey, this is a party game. Let's play. I want to try
it. He played the players.
Yes. That's what he did.
He played the player.
Polka. Which is, but, you know,
polka?
As a relatively, he was new
like
to that game.
Accordion poker?
He was so inspired by his performance, he went and bought
David
the
looks
game.
Like he'd be playing that kind of game.
Yeah.
I could see him poker.
Poker.
So, kudos to David Webb, who is sick right now.
No good.
That's why we have Eddie on the show.
Oh, but
that was for.
I had mono. I still have mono. Don't kiss me, anyone.
Nobody plans to.
couple people do.
Okay. Not in this room.
He said a couple people.
Whoa. Oh, he's pointing at Corey.
Mr. Popular. Mr. Better Than Jake.
Yeah. You guys don't know Sublime is the best ska band, right?
Nobody, you're wrong.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
You would get shot if this was the 90s.
That's not true.
I'm pretty sure no, it wasn't. Not by a ska band.
Someone would blow a trumpet in your face. That's the worst thing.
Like, whoa. All right, I get it, dude.
That is aggressive. All
right. You just changed the beat up on me for a quick second. All right, cool.
good job, I guess.
Oh, man. We got a lot going on this summer. This is the summer of bang, everybody, because next week is E3, where we have all the E3 coverage that you're going to want. The show will still go on.
Then we got SAC Comic Con, Wizard World.
Yeah. And then right after
that. Why is your panel at 5?
And Friday. Why? What's wrong with that?
Real people have jobs.
Oh. Well, at 5 o'clock, VGB does
have
a panel.
Yeah, but true fans will be there.
There it is.
Yeah. And like I said,
money,
we will have a couple prizes there that are very special to VGB listeners. And if you go to our Twitch channel and you go and follow us there, and then you come back to the show on Friday and you say, or even Twitter, I'll open it to Twitter. You go there and say, hey, Video Game Bang, I'm a fan. My name is Hollow Monkey. We will give you special VGB bonus gifts.
Now, how are we supposed to know if they're their real person?
I don't know. They'll be like, I'm that fan that sent you that picture of my ass.
No. So say.
Wait, that's your other Twitter account.
Say we recognize their name. They come and say their name.
Yeah.
But then minutes later, somebody else comes and says, oh, actually, I'm the real
CRV.
If they come up, if they went through enough research to find, to listen to this, know the rules, yeah, find the person, and then
they
say
deserve
it,
the reward.
They deserve the reward.
Okay. Saying.
All right, we will be back after the break with more Video Game Bang. Stick around because we got so much more to talk about. All the latest and greatest video game news.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion, and you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Hi, this is Yaya Han, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Birch, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hi, this is Amber Goldfarb, the voice of Aveline de Grand Pré, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hey, hier ist Boris Seicho bei Video Game Bang und ich bin der Komponist von Sunset Overdrive, das jetzt auf Xbox One erhältlich ist.
And I've gone too far.
Podcasting is harder than people think it is.
Mom's Transportation. Is that a new thing?
It's an app.
Is that a thing like... I thought it was like Uber.
Yeah, it's like Uber.
Is it really?
Really?
Yeah, but you have to be a mom.
Okay.
That sounds like fake taxi all the way.
That would be interesting.
Just flip it.
Just flip it around.
Just flip the script.
Can you treat her like your mother?
Ma!
Hey, Ma!
Like when you get in there, but hey, Mom, could you take me to this, and that?
That's the whole point of the app.
Okay.
Hey, Mom.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Sure, son, as long as you pay me. Then it turns.
So my mom would never charge me.
You can only use it to like go to soccer practice.
Go to school.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty cool app.
Can we go pick up our friends and go to Chuck E. Cheese?
To go to the mall, yeah.
Pretty cool app. Pretty cool app.
Okay, let's see. We are talking about video game and geek news. All of the latest and greatest. We're going to start with the big news all over the internet. John Bernthal. You may know him from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in Wolf of Wall Street.
Never saw it.
Fury.
What else was he in, Eddie? You're the movie buff.
That's about it.
All right, that's it.
That's about it.
That's
those two movies.
Three. Two movies in the show.
He is going to be playing Punisher in the next season of Daredevil.
Well fitting. Yep. Well
and
fitting.
Subsequently, you know there's going to be a spinoff, right?
I don't know if he's spinoff worthy.
Yeah.
If they put him as Punisher in Daredevil and they do a Punisher TV show on Netflix, it's going to be him.
Where do we see this going? Because we just saw a chart with all the Marvel licenses that Marvel actually has now for their cinematic universe and their you know, big screen, small screen, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now, are we getting a huge, brand new cinematic universe original story with everybody in it?
10 years from now?
Yeah, you'd think so. You know, just and that's the unknown part, because right now we got this big cinematic universe that we've been lucky to have this long.
That's been in.
We've had very few actors drop out.
It's been 15 years in the making, too.
Well, I mean, it's cash cow one, and then it's decent enough writing.
Well, I mean, some actors have standards, like Jason Statham.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, that
I missed that whole thing. What? Please, someone fill me in.
The Untouchables? Untouchables.
So Jason Statham went out and said, because they were talking about him being offered the part or possibly taking the role of Bullseye. Yeah. And when asked about if he'd be willing to do that character, he said, oh, I can do Marvel. Anybody can do a Marvel. Even my grandma can do Marvel, a Marvel character. Wasn't it after that he confirmed or that he had said he's not going to do it because it leaked that he was going to do it? Yeah. And so, like, it was like his angry response of being, like, he was caught in a deal thing. Yeah. And then it didn't happen. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, he said pretty much. Yeah, he said pretty much anybody can do Marvel. All you got to do is just get in front of a green screen. And because he said, like, my grandma can do it or something, right? Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a response to it, too, from Mark Ruffalo.
What did he say? I feel like I'm getting my toes.
Well, what did he say? Well, what did she say?
At, like, a salon. Oh, and then what did Hulk say?
Mark Ruffalo just laughed it off, and then he's like, well, whatever, and they asked him if he could take, or who was tougher between him or Jason Statham, and he says, oh, look at me, I'm the Hulk, I could definitely take him.
Eh. And then when they meet face-to-face, Mark Ruffalo goes straight back into,
first of all, Ruffalo,
chick flick mode.
You're Bruce Banner. You're Bruce Banner. You're not the Hulk.
Yeah, he's like, well, I get to wear the suit, so...
I
get to wear the suit because I'm Mark Ruffalo.
That's how he talks.
See a Muppet?
I was like Kermit over there.
Yeah, I'm Mark Ruffalo.
Mark the Ruffalo here.
Kermit the Frog here.
Lou Ferrigno is the Hulk. So if you want to say who
in physical form, yeah.
Yes, if you want to say who can take who there, then.
But going back to the Punisher, though, as far as a spinoff, I don't know if it's really the direction they're going to take with this.
I think they will.
Mm.
I'm almost 100% sure.
If they do a spinoff, I could see them doing a spinoff because it's a very, you know, gritty character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they were that happy with their previous movies, even though I still like the first one that they did, which was fine.
Which first one?
Not with Lundgren.
Okay, I was going to say. Good Lord. You say how first one. And
how dare you?
You should know better, Eddie.
I do know better, which is why I'm saying which
that's
one.
That's not canon.
That's definitely not canon. That's Nick Cannon right there. Wow. So I could see them still trying to be like, oh, yeah, let's at least give them our newest Marvel version of the Punisher, you know.
You know what?
But it'll be good enough. I think he'll take a lot of time.
Nurse it. I don't know. Because I think a spinoff would be good. But I love it when people team up and stuff.
Yeah.
Like for a decently long period of time until you can build the reason to spin it off. Yeah. The build the power of that character.
One season won't be enough for you?
I don't think one season would be enough for me.
And then, of course, they've got to have their altercation in this season. It's got to be opposing sides. Well, they can't just buddy cop up automatically.
No, and especially those two, the killer and the non-killer.
Yeah,
they make Punisher the blind and the sighted. What if Punisher is like the main villain of the entire season?
If they what?
What if they made Punisher pretty much the villain of the entire season?
If they're smart, they won't do that. Because that'd be kind of out of...
Look at the pacing of the first season of Daredevil, though. They did such a good job taking a story and not rushing it. They did very slow, like... And before, it basically went in the format of a movie.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like each episode was a movie. The whole thing played out like one movie.
Yeah.
He'll probably be a bad guy for like two episodes.
Well, he's an anti-hero. So
I don't think it's going to go like that. I think at least half the series.
Well, he's ultimately an anti-hero, so he plays both sides to his own moral compass. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to those two, I mean, you have Matt Murdock, who's initially, who's just sold out for wanting to do good, and then you have him who's like, well, anybody who just partners with scum, anybody who touches anything that's dirty should go down. You know, I think that'll be the moral conflict between the two. I don't think he'll be played as the bad guy.
I think the conflict is going to be one kills people and one doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, that's not necessarily the bad guys. The anti-hero, yeah. Like, the kind of... are the...
And another thing too, we don't know the time frame as to when they're going to jump back into the second season from.
Oh, it's immediately after the first one.
You really think it's going to be right after?
It's diving right in.
So their episodes were literally all within the same amount of days, right?
It was 2 days.
Yeah, so it was not 2 days. Shut up. I mean, it was really quick,
say anything
though.
With enough confidence.
I mean, he was unconscious for at least 3 days.
Yeah, but it was still really, really fast.
Yes, it was very fast.
It felt very the timeline they were giving me felt very fast-paced, but then watching it, I thought like a week had gone by at like any given moment. It was
honestly,
like, oh,
it's
because yeah,
you could probably see all of them in less than a weekend, right, Aaron?
Well, that's true, but I think with the healing of Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
how he would get near death beat up, and then the next episode, hey, I'm flipping off roofs again.
He meditated.
Yeah,
he's got that Aaron.
Come on, guys.
The power of meditation.
Yeah, you go home and meditate after a stab wound to the abdomen and see how
I haven't been trained in ancient arts.
Three times.
Okay.
Three times.
Last one didn't heal that great.
Yeah. But how do you stretch out a half a season, Corey, of a person that they...
Which will take place over one day if their pacing is correct.
That they portray him as a bad guy.
There will be other things going on to focus on. There will be Daredevil. There will be... And we don't have no idea who the main villain is going to be.
It's going to be a race. The second season is going to be a race. The main villain is already Bullseye. That's probably what they're going to just do. Statham dropped out, but that doesn't
But
just,
who cares?
Was that someone who so wants that was for it. The Netflix game?
Yeah,
for the Netflix game, yeah.
Okay.
So,
but then you also got to remember too, they're going to be introducing Elektra as well.
Elektra's going to be a part of this.
They're going to throw a whole bunch of crap in here.
And one thing though about the series that they do really well is that the pacing does kind of quicken a little bit, but that doesn't mean that they don't have to show them in the first episode. They could wait till like the third episode.
That's true. I feel like people were introduced very, very, very well.
Yeah.
In the first season. I don't feel like anyone was glossed over because they had to, we got to get them in here, and then they're just in the scene because they had to be. It's like, oh, okay, that felt like a natural progression. Thank you for bringing that character.
And Vincent D'Onofrio did a very good job.
I absolutely hated him.
I loved him.
Wait, you hated him as
Fisk.
Pretty good job.
Come on.
No, he was like a weird... He was like every other time he's been on TV or in a movie.
It's the progression of his mindset to becoming
Vincent D'Onofrio plays.
It was
Vincent D'Onofrio
exactly, and I was like, "That's cool, but that's not
Would
why
you rather
I'm
have,
watching this."
I mean, he's one of those actors. Him, Christopher Walken. who's the dude that was in the latest Transformers movie?
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, they're actors that you know what you're getting out of them.
Yeah, I expected it different. I had forgotten that he plays kind of the weird, crazy guy in all of the things he does. It's
like, and I think it was a fresh take on the Wilson Fisk King.
Yeah,
he can't
different.
Be as bad as George Clooney playing George Clooney.
I really have not watched too many George Clooney movies besides Batman.
I was actually trying to think of one.
Yeah, I can't because I never watched the.
Tomorrowland was horrible.
12 people.
They 12 Monkeys.
Bank.
What?
I don't know. What was it?
Oceans.
11,
12, 13.
Yeah, 12, 13.
Never watched any of them.
14, all the way up to Oceans 25. And
yeah. Whatever.
Oceans 100.
Thank you.
We are the bank now.
We're going to rob ourselves.
One of the last it was a video that we watched here as a VGB crew was for the new Halo. We watched the... Wow.
Sorry, that was unscripted.
And like right into the microphone, too.
Yeah, unscripted.
Halo 5 sees the return of Nathan Fillion from his ODST character.
Which I really liked him, because ODST is one of my favorite in the Halo-verse, I guess you want to call it. Mainly because it was kind of story-driven, and then the characters were awesome. And Nathan Fillion was definitely a boss.
Also, they weren't Spartans, right?
Yeah, they weren't Spartans. So you weren't like jumping crazy high and then, you got shot and hurt.
I've always really liked that story when you're surrounded by these amazing badasses saving the universe. It's like, yeah, but what is everybody else in like the actual military doing?
That's cool, Captain America.
Yeah.
But I just joined yesterday in the military and I can't throw a shield. Sorry, they gave me a rifle. So.
Yeah, they gave me just the rifle, too. I don't have any other weapons, actually.
The guy says, I'm out of bullets, Cap. I don't know what to do now.
Do I just sit cross-legged?
Just pick up this fuel rod cannon.
Just cross your legs and sit on the ground.
I don't know how to use alien technology. I'm an American. Didn't graduate.
This says made in China.
I'll head back to the Jeep. All right.
You got this, Cap.
I'll keep it going. I'll keep it running.
You got it, Cap. I'll be back at base.
Sergeant Buck is back. And also, if you are a fan of the Halo Nightfall series, which I know so many of you were, the main character from that.
Didn't watch one episode.
Me neither. And I actually really like.
What was that?
Halo.
It was a story about a black guy.
Who wears somewhat Master Chief armor.
Yeah.
But he's not Master Chief.
But he's not Master Chief.
He is in the game, though.
He is in the game, yeah.
So they're really doing a good job, though. That is pretty cool, how they're crossing over. I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
They're just doing a really good job. They're just doing a really good job. Just like putting people together.
So supportive.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bringing families together.
That's not going to be anything interesting.
So you're looking for a heartwarming reunion.
No.
You don't think it adds a lot of depth, though? Because if I play this game and I really think that character is awesome, I'll go back and watch
it. To me, it takes away from the specialness of John Spartan. Because look how many Spartans are now in existence. It's like billions of them.
Yeah.
Billions.
So what's so cool about Master Chief over here?
He's the Master
Chief. He's 117.
Now, that guy that previously ran out of bullets and had to go back to base, he's a Spartan. So he's like, I got this one too, guys. Like, we're good. We don't need the old version. You know, they've made upgrades. So what's so cool about John Spartan now?
Well, he's still going to be the best. I mean, he's 117. We've gone through all these adventures together.
They've
made upgrades. I mean, yeah, but how many times have we seen Terminator and the old T-100?
You
want to
go with that? So in a real fight
with
that Milty guy, right?
T-1000
versus old Skeletron. You really think that if the scripting wasn't in it, but then
the plot armor?
Like, yes. That plot armor.
Plot armor is very strong.
That's only Batman's
plot armor's pretty
weapon,
OP.
Okay? Mm. That Milty guy would have freaking killed him with swiftness.
But he didn't because that's
writers.
That's canon.
That's why.
That's canon.
Because writers.
Because he had to kill himself as a noble sacrifice. Because
Arnold Schwarzenegger was the star of the movie. That's why.
Batman.
Did that guy do anything after that? T-1000 dude?
Yeah.
I think he reprised his role in Wayne's World.
He did.
Batman Arkham Knight Red Hood trailer. So they came out with the Red Hood trailer, and of course there's going to be
DLC
missions that you can get only if you pre-order it at GameStop.
Is it GameStop? Yeah, that one's GameStop.
I really like the way they went with this one, even though he can have his own standalone game for the way that they have the gameplay on there, because he's, you know, a Punisher basically,
yeah,
where he just kills everybody that's, you know, mm-hmm, bad or whatever. I really wish it was a standalone game instead of just him being like some DLC in the Batman game.
Well, I think with the attention this one's gonna get, it might, you know,
because they're too
is it is it like testing the waters for it basically?
Possibly. It seems like, yeah, like, hey, here you go, guys. Here's a little game.
Yeah, you want more?
Switch
you
whistle? Want more? Open your mouth.
But it's pretty. It's pretty cool. I like the storyline, at least with the Red Hood. If you haven't seen that, the animated
Under the Red Hood.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It was very good.
It was.
I think I fell asleep.
You're crazy.
There's the door.
I was very tired.
You have lost your mind.
I was really tired.
One thing I want to talk about is this episode will release alongside an article I'm writing, and I haven't fully shaped the thoughts yet, so that's why I brought it to the panel here. I'm talking about E3, and there's a lot of coverage right now going around E3, unlimited amounts of coverage on the AAA titles, and not enough attention being shown to the indie games.
They don't make a lot of
money. It's actually, you just said the reason is because they're indie, as in they're independent.
But it's 2015.
No,
it's 2015.
The idea of an indie game is it'll always be indie.
Sexism or racism or
anything. Well, I mean,
and we have the power of the internet.
But the problem, though, with that is that not a lot of people who are wanting to look up information for E3 are going to want to hear about, oh, this low-rate game over here or this small indie game. They're going to want to know about the big ones like Ark Evolved, or they're going to want to know about what's coming out of Bethesda, or they want to know about all those other games.
Want to know about the next Call of Duty?
Skylanders.
Or the indie games don't have their own, you know,
press team.
Yeah,
so we're ending that drought.
We're
ending that drought. Okay.
We're ending the drought. We're going to talk about the top five games that we want to see at E3 2015.
Now, are they going to be there, or is it just something that we want to see there?
These are games that are going to be there that I am most looking forward to seeing.
Okay.
Okay.
So I want to start with number five, see what you guys think. All right, so number five
wrong.
Is...
Wrong. I'm sorry. Just...
just have it?
Yeah. It just
force of habit.
I'm against it, but convince me for it.
The game is called Inside. Now,
I'm against it, but convince me for it.
I got to Google this.
How is it spelled?
It's spelled normal.
Okay.
Just it's not better. With a Y?
Yeah, no. I was expecting three Ys.
No.
We were just talking about Ska, so that sounded appropriate.
The game was announced at the last E3. It just had a little blip on the Xbox stage show. It's by the same developer who made Limbo.
Okay.
Play Dead.
All right.
And it's kind of Limbo, but like 3D with more light. It looks like the same puzzle platformer deal if you guys are looking it up right now.
Yeah, I am looking it up right now. Okay.
I'm not because I thought you were.
The.
I mean, it's fine. You don't have to.
It's a horror game. Okay.
It's not a horror game.
It says indie horror game.
Really?
Yeah. Sis, stop scaring me, damn it. Indie horror game Inside.
See, stop scaring me. It was...
good title for their video. There you go. Right there, yeah.
Well, was Limbo a horror game?
Limbo was a psychological thriller. That's what that was.
I like how that is literally one step away from horror, though.
Only one.
Literally only one step away. They chose to do one thing different, and so it's not horror.
Yeah. Whoa, that's loud.
I'm dead.
No, I would say the game wouldn't... I don't know if it's horror, but I'd say psychological thriller. Looks like another one of those quiet games. Mm. You know, like when you're playing Limbo and...
Atmospheric.
Yeah, atmospheric.
I thought you were talking about there's a game called Quiet.
Beautiful. I mean, the game looks awesome.
That's the direction of the new independent
games.
Quiet.
Games.
They're just one-word games.
Inside.
Yeah.
It's Inside?
There's some... like
for the makers of Inside stuff.
It seems like... You know, there might be some of that commentary stuff. Everybody appears to be zombies.
What's the story here? Because, I mean, there was even a story in Limbo. Like,
I don't know exactly what the story is. That's the thing. That's why I'm hoping we get to know more about it. There's only this, literally the same trailer that was out from last year.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
You see, I mean, like, I would play this game. Like, no lie, I would play this game. But the reason why this game is not up at the forefront in E3 is because of, one, how it looks. It's just a 2D side-scrolling game, and we're not in 1985 anymore.
How dare you?
It's a little more than a side-scrolling platformer.
You guys,
there's puzzles.
You guys misinterpret my honesty.
Oh, are you saying other people have moved on beyond that? Okay,
yeah.
All right. Okay, all right.
And it's, you know, it's not made by one of the big three. You know, so it's not going to be up in there, you know, hey, guys, this is Microsoft. Look, we got Inside. They're not going to do that. And then it's not an established brand already. It's not, you know, Halo, Mario, Tomb Raider.
No, but they do have a hit under their belt, which is a really good
thing
for them.
And they're going to spam the crap out of it from the makers of, they're going to
say I will say Limbo has been in 75% of Humble bundles that I've seen, though.
It's in the latest one now, isn't it?
That's why I said that, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Always there.
They really
and it was given away for free on Xbox. I mean, the game is... I mean,
it's great. I mean,
it was in the double pack, too, wasn't it?
I think they really had to kind of get it out to people so that they played it. Because it does look foreboding.
Why don't they do any more of those, bundles for Xbox? Remember how they used to have the arcade games on
arcade
disc?
Hits on disc.
They could do that, right? Is there enough arcade games on the one?
Actually, I wonder if there's actually a distribution deal about those now.
Something's got to happen. Something's got to give.
And I've looked all over, and there's no place that gives a synopsis to the game or the plot of the game.
So, moving on. So, that's number five. What are your thoughts on that one, Alex?
I think it looks good. I think that I do like that. I like those people to go on, considering they have a good game. Still never beat Limbo. Got stuck. But
me too.
He's stuck in Limbo.
Yeah.
Stuck in Limbo.
There it is. Happening. That's why they named it that.
Aaron kind of expressed his feelings. Eddie, quick thoughts?
I think it looks promising, seeing the trailer. So,
moving on to number four on my list that I've made in my head. That we're going through. And you guys could challenge this list. Try and break my list.
Well, already you're wrong. Sublime should be number five.
Sublime will be number five, just to spite you. Firewatch.
I have is number 4 on the list. Now, Firewatch is the game. I can't remember the name of the developer. It's a new developing team. Monte Cristo? Something like that.
I love the movie. Yeah, it's not that name.
Count of Monte Cristo? Yeah.
Look it up, Fact Checker Eddie.
See, I'm afraid that this game will get...
Camposanto.
I'm afraid that this game will get glazed over by a lot of people for the lack of actual game in this. You know what I mean?
Well, it's described as a hilarious, suspenseful, and strange first-person adventure game.
Okay, so what's that movie where that guy got his arm caught under the rock and he had to cut it off?
Every movie?
27 hours, I think?
Was it? Yeah, something like that.
20-something hours. The one with James Franco.
Yeah, the one with James Franco. So there was a whole movie, because, I mean, the whole movie is basically about just that one 5 seconds of that. Well, not 5 seconds, you know. That
when he got pinned.
When he got pinned, yeah, that moment in his life. But before, they have to have some type of movie stuff, so they added a whole bunch of other things beforehand, correct?
Talking about the follow-up.
Yeah. I feel like that's what this will be. A whole bunch of just
leading up to something.
Yeah, and then one little instance, and then that's it. And then a little slow letdown.
Well, I don't know, because the way we were seeing the gameplay earlier, right before we started the show, and even that little tidbit where, you know, the character's in the middle of a cave, and he's singing, you know, Africa by Toto in the cave just to hear the echo.
Bless the rains in Africa.
That is about as good as it was, too.
Yeah. Now we're being sued by Toto.
Thank you.
So, it lent a little bit to its humor. I mean, it looks like it has those good moments in it where if you continue to push through it and you see the little things that it has in it. I mean, if you're more about the journey rather than the destination, then I guess, you know, it'd be a good game.
It kind of reminds me of a little bit of Kentucky Route Zero with some of its atmosphere. Just the idea of you're this person and these things are happening around you, you know, not necessarily that you have control over it, but you are going through it. And I kind of like those games and stories that they give. Is this the one where they go to the beach or he goes to the beach?
No, he's in like a Yosemite, isn't he?
Is there people stripped there?
Yeah, that one.
The skinny dippers.
But you can take care of that a whole bunch of different ways. You can dick about it. You can let him go. You can, you know, just tell him the rules and be like, all right, don't let it happen next time. And then, you know, so there's that, which is, you know, quote unquote, doing your job normal. And then other things happen. And then there's this person on the other end of the radio. Like, I feel like there's enough intrigue, I guess I'll say the word.
I like the fact that the character is kind of just an average guy.
Yeah.
He's not a super hero guy or, you know.
He's not a specialist in something or.
Yeah, he's a guy going through a divorce who's, like, depressed and going through a rough patch, and he's like, well, I want to just go out in the middle of nowhere. And he gets this job as a, what's the actual job called? Firewatch.
He's a Firewatch.
Yeah, so he sits on the tower, and he basically just got to run and do odd jobs around, but then there's something looming. That's how this trailer ends. It's a 17-minute of gameplay that IGN did, and it ends, of course, on the cliffhanger of the plot actually developing. But one thing that I love in these type of games is when the comedy is actually good. Like, if you watched it, Alex, did you find it funny?
I chuckled at it.
Yeah, which I mean, is
the most I can do these days, anyway.
There's nothing worse than those games that try too hard to
Gingers,
be funny.
I tell you.
Like, what was one of them? Sunset Overdrive to me was the epitome of trying way too hard to be funny.
I wouldn't know. I didn't even look at that piece of crap.
Yeah, well, you did yourself a service.
I know. See, if you avoid most console games, you save yourself a lot of hassle.
I could tell Sunset Overdrive. That looked like the Jamie Kennedy of freaking video games.
Check it out. We're doing something wacky, and we know we're a video game. It's kind of Deadpool. It was the Deadpool. I don't think Deadpool's funny.
Poorly written Deadpool. That exists.
Yeah.
Deadpool written by Jamie Kennedy.
There we go. It's Deadpool written by Jamie Kennedy. I'm looking forward to this one. I love the style, too.
I like how the thing has it. It's like teens. They're drunk underneath it. Like, it has little things like that where you're not going to, you know, bust a gut laughing at it, but you're going to have a smile on your face while you're playing it because it has some wit, some charm.
It's an overall good experience that you're going to have with the game. Mm-hmm.
So do you think they can ruin it by alien invasion at the end?
I think that would make it better.
No, I think from what I've seen, again, only the 17 minutes now, but the amount of suspense that they're building up to it leaves you questioning a lot of things. because if it is alien invasion, like, that's fine. Because I think they're going to work it into something where you're like, hey, that actually buttoned up pretty well. Or that actually makes sense. Or that works well enough for the story.
I think, but say it does something like that at the end, some totally out of the left field, you know, like, oh, bears are actually, you know, taking over the world now. You know, and that's
bear
why you're
with
in the
laser
park.
Eyes.
How do you follow up with that? Because you spent this whole game, you know, doing this build.
See, this
up
is where Aaron Carter way overanalyzes the game.
Because if it becomes popular, they're going to want a sequel.
You're jumping on what if on the what if train.
You don't think they won't?
Based on what we can see, Aaron, what do you think?
It's based on what I can
highly
see,
highly stylized, great comedy, suspense thriller. What do you think? That's all we get from him.
Yeah.
Well, this next one will perk.
If it doesn't have soccer in it, he's not paying attention.
Yeah, pretty much. The next one will definitely get Aaron's attention because he actually is the one that turned me on to this game.
Sorry.
So terrible.
Eon Alter, number 3 on my list. And this is going to be, I cannot wait to publish this article because Eon Alter, I think, is one of the best kept secrets on indie games right now.
Yeah.
Nobody has this game on their radar. They're going to be at E3, but they're not at E3.
They're going to attend E3.
They're crashing E3, essentially. They're going to have their game to show, like, in their hotel room.
For E3.
Yeah, but they're not showing the game. They're going to have
their
game there.
They're not a showcasing developer.
They're going to go there and...
Are they bringing laptops?
They're
probably walking around with signs saying, hey.
Yeah, like, it's so hard to show people things these days. Golly.
Hey, you never know.
Like, Goofy attending E3 now?
Yeah. That's how I'm going to crash E3.
Basically, if you want to see this game, follow them on Twitter. And if you're in the LA area during E3, just send them a message. And I'm sure they'll let you meet up and play the game. Like, it's one of these underground things.
It's, but the game definitely looks like something that is very special, which I don't understand why people
haven't seen it, so I don't even
know. Let's try and describe it to Alex.
D&D with your phone and a computer.
It's tabletop brought to couch.
Yeah, but like how?
So
using your smartphone.
It's
way better than it sounds.
What are you doing?
It's way better than it sounds.
So basically what it is
you have a delicious meal, but you can throw it on the floor first.
You're gonna have your whole character, like, just basically from your phone. So you're gonna have the stats that you can upgrade and the moves and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then it's just turn based combat on a bigger screen. That's basically what it is, or on your computer screen.
In it, like a tabletop format?
No, not really.
It seemed like it.
It's inspired, but see what Alex is gonna say. Tabletop format is a little looser than what this one is. Actually, there's going to be kind of a story. You do have dialogue choices and stuff like that.
There's four characters to choose from.
And then you have objectives, of course. Each person has an overall objective, but then
there's like a team objective.
You can get secret objectives directly to you through your phone, because you're the only person that's really seeing your own phone, unless you go, hey, look at my stuff over here. But I think the integration between the PC and the phone, and then it's kind of everybody's couch because it's not online. Everybody's there talking and discussing. I know, my social interaction.
No, it's...
You've included the human aspect. He's not interested.
When he was talking about highlights from the game, that's what it was. It was all the human parts. Like, they're trying to make those awesome, like, make or break moments. Like, there was two characters that were kind of beefing, like, throughout the quest in their playtests. And it had to do with their characters and counter objectives and stuff like that. And the way it came down is, like, this one final battle. And one guy is, like, in the thick of this trying to fight them. And the last guy has, like, a decision to make where he could either blast the whole area with an AOE and kill the guy. Or he could do... There was, like, another option, wasn't there? Or he could have done it where the guy would have survived, but he decided to, because of stuff that the other guy did to him, he wiped the board, which was good, but then they killed him in the end.
Yeah.
So he made a bad decision. But it was something that everyone was talking about, like, after they put it away, and that's why we play D&D.
So who puts this on?
Sure, that's why we play.
Flying Helmet Games.
Flying Helmet?
I think you're the one that told me that.
Yeah.
We play D&D and then
a lot of things.
You sit after the fact, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we just did
the
that.
The stories that you can tell.
No, it's the stories that you can
tell. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And well, that's
what... It's not the, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened, or I'm going to talk about this for a week. No, 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 no. When I'm expressing to someone else the idea that was in my imagination, which was not graphically presented to anyone, so you get to describe it the way you want to.
That's what I think he's disliking.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be good, but don't...
Because when you play D&D,
you're wolf in sheep's clothing. In me,
when you're playing D&D,
verb noun,
sheep's clothing in me.
Yeah,
when you're playing D&D, and I'm describing a story, what's in your head is going to be different from what's in Alex's head. So now that
they're both going to be awesome, though.
Yeah. So now that both of you can see, you know, in front of you the graphics of the rocks and the dragon that's in front of you, you both have the exact same
visual
image. But what I think the difference is you're having slightly different experiences depending on the secret quest that you get from yourself that could be counter to what the group is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue choices that you choose while you're, you know, speaking with the NPCs and stuff like that. And then, you know, just having your own, excuse me, having your own, you know, pocket character basically with your cell phone and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's pros and cons, I can see to your point, but I think it's just, to me, it just seems like the next iteration. You don't want to lose that. What it feels like is you don't want to lose that strip to digital film type of thing. Like, this is how, you know, we had it. You know?
I'm not saying you can't have good experiences, but I'm just...
To me, I think this is the natural
I've
flow.
I've heard sweet honey lies before.
Well, yeah.
Tell me sweet honey lies.
Yeah. Video game.
But that's the thing is, like, I don't want it to be butchered where people are like, this is stupid, and turn it away from the roots of it all. Also, dumb, but whatever.
But it may do the exact opposite and
it
turn
could.
Them towards. Yeah. You know,
and then we'll get another
D&D
4th edition, and all the people who've been playing since 2nd edition will be like, why are we playing this crap? This is stupid. Money grab.
Well, there you go.
There we go. Alex just killed everyone's hype on.
No, this game is
going to
be
like he always
awesome.
Does.
This game is going to be awesome.
Also, I don't want to control my goddamn hero from a goddamn smartphone.
Well, then
why?
Don't.
That makes me upset.
Why?
We have. I just.
That okay. That's not an answer. One.
I
think that was Klingon there.
Deep in my stomach.
But
that's how I feel.
I think what's better about this one is too. It's the same thing. Like if you're doing the Wii U, the gamepad is a good an idea, but executed to me poorly. Everybody has a smartphone. For one, well, not everybody, but whatever.
Was that a sphere grid?
Yes.
I fucking hate the sphere grid.
Well, that's just you. So anyway, everybody has a phone. You can come over. Corey owns the game. I don't have to buy the game. Boom. Boot it up on my phone. I'm controlling my character. We're playing the game. That's how it works.
There you go.
Yeah.
I can see all my levels, my stats. I can control individually, you know, my progression for my character in my hand. I don't have to press pause and slow up everybody. You don't have to, you know, it's all in my hand. I like that. You know.
Yeah, it seems like they're taking the right approach with the controls.
And the couch co-op.
It's not like a half smartphone interface and a half controller
interface. It is your controller, yeah. And then the fact that they decided to go couch co-op, you know, where you're sitting next to people and actually able to talk, since it's a turn-based strategy game, you guys are going to actually have to converse and not worry about somebody's internet connection dropping down or something like that, and oh, I can't hear you or something like that, because he's still in 2015. We have that problem for some reason.
You have that problem.
I don't have that problem. How dare you? It's good.
You know people that you play with.
Yes, I do.
I don't. So,
well,
actually, it's not a problem for me.
Well, we will be getting once the game is ready to be shown around. We're going to get a advanced copy of that one, and I will specifically request that Bag show up and play this with us.
I will play it with you. I will bitch the entire time. I want you to know that.
What is this? This is stupid here.
What is this? This is ridiculous.
But there was things that I if you listen to the episode with the interview with the guys, there were things that I wanted to know specifically, like why turn away from the customized characters and stuff like that? Why can't I make my own character and then, you know,
this is a fucking nightmare.
That's pretty much the answer. Yeah.
Pretty much no, I, answer. Like I know it sounds like they actually have enough rules in place to guide a certain experience, yes. Which I do respect that. It's just I need to see how it's implemented and the actual experience of playing it to be able to judge something like this.
Yeah.
Because it sounds too good to be true. That's why I'm pushing back against it so hard. Okay. Is because it sounds too good to be true.
Okay.
Moving on to number two on the list. I went with kind of a more popular one. And the reason I chose it isn't necessarily for my personal excitement. It's kind of just my morbid curiosity. And that is Mighty Number 9.
Also known as Mega Man number...
Mega Man. Mega the Man. Spiritual successor to Mega Man that was
made
a,
by the same guy who made Mega Man.
And you was, gave him money,
yeah,
people.
That didn't pay the so money he earned money. From Mega Man.
The hell is wrong with everybody?
We all paid for this game. Well, yeah, it's I lump us into the bulk majority of the
I
world.
I didn't pay for Jack. Pay for
but it. We did as consumers. We, the people, paid for this thing.
That is
how? It wasn't necessarily
well,
us.
They, but they also, because crowdfunding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but... The things that they get are a copy of the game plus collectibles, which is something that they want. Those are intangible values on those. That's not a real, like, you can't be like, oh, it's worth $80 to everybody.
Yeah,
no, it's worth $80 to you, and I'll buy it for a dollar.
Same with Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Have you seen any of the gameplay yet, Aaron?
Yeah, I used to own Mega Man 4, so I've seen Shut gameplay up. Out of the Yang Yang. It's literally Mega Man, isn't it? Let me guess. He runs, he jumps.
And he shoots.
He shoots.
He dashes.
What? Does he? So did Mega Man.
In which one?
I don't know. X?
There you go. Different.
Whoa!
I don't know. It looks good. I like, because a lot of people have done spiritual successors and they've not been involved or the idea behind Mega Man for, you know, anything official. I like that they're doing kind of a more official type of take on it.
Full screen that Mega Man number 9.
Is Capcom suing anybody? Or did they...
No, it's cleared by them.
Oh, it was cleared?
I thought it was cleared.
Why? Oh my God, this is Mega Man. It's not a spiritual successor to
Why
Mega
didn't they
Man.
Just make Mega Man then, Aaron?
This is... that's what I was... Literally my next question.
He couldn't. They didn't want to make
this. Is that what that was?
They didn't want to make this.
So then, yeah... So literally, this is him saying, I wanted to make a Mega Man.
They said,
they wouldn't
no.
let me.
Let's all do something about
so
it.
So I'm
well,
going to
no,
make
they wouldn't do
Mighty
it.
Number 9.
But, well, originally he was called Rockman in Japan anyways.
Okay.
So shut up.
My gosh.
I'm acting like I didn't know that crap. But nonetheless, he's Mega Man somewhere. So
guys,
now he's
guys,
Mighty.
Please stop fighting. Stop.
He's Mighty Man here.
Mighty Man. I don't know. I think the art style is what put them off for... Capcom wanting to do it.
Another
I
Mega
don't
Man?
Think, I don't think they wanted to touch the space that Mega Man... They don't want to grow it into somewhere else and it go badly. You know what I mean? Whereas when you don't have the actual brand name franchise at risk, it's easier to branch out and
they
make something.
They came out with old
school... I think it looks pretty.
They came out with Mega Man 10, correct?
That, but that was done in the old school style, right?
Okay, so why would they risk something, people not being, are being put off by an old school style next iteration of the game, than a new style?
No, I meant like art style.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. This is saying, like, so there's Mega Man, Mega Man hadn't come out in that style, in that old 8-bit style for what, like 20 years?
A long time.
Yeah. So... Who's to say that everybody was going to pick that up and be like, oh, new Mega Man, I'm going to play this old school looking
it
thing.
Probably was way easier to develop that.
Oh, no, yeah. It probably took 2 seconds.
Money.
You could put that probably on a floppy disk. But
yeah, no, that's the thing. Is it? There was no...
risk.
There was no risk.
No financial risk. Is what
the return on investment was astronomical.
Yeah.
This yeah. was not until... I mean, that's why they crowdfunded it.
And that's so bull.
They were also able to pick up angel investors from it. So, I mean, it works out.
So much bull.
So, I'm really interested to see how this one actually goes and the critical success, because we know that the Mega Man fanboys will, you know, have already gone crazy for it, but what kind of new audience will this thing attract based off of E3, if at all?
That's I don't question. Think it will.
Let's see. The last one, number one on the list, is one, you guys probably could have guessed it, because we've talked it into the ground on this very show. We haven't heard any news from it in a while, No Man's Sky. Aaron, what was that?
You
were the hype train. You were the first one on the hype
until
train.
Until somebody came out saying, we want you to explore the world by yourself. Yeah.
What do you mean by yourself?
Like, nobody else. I can't hop online, find you online, and then explore the world together, holding hands.
We would do all those things.
But we can't now.
Yes, we can.
No, you can't.
We can find each other.
It takes forever, remember?
You'll always find me in a drift.
So I was like, that's the stupidest thing. That's the dumbest thing. So, and then when I look at his developer diary, so he did this one thing where he was like, the art style, where the planets were actually a lot further apart than they actually programmed in the game. And one of the things was because he's, you know, inspired by all these science fiction novels and stuff like that, where, you know, it takes a long time to get from here to Mars and crap like that. But
crap like that.
Yeah. The solar system. Science and math and stuff. Yeah. And whenever the art director or whatever was drawing, or he was like, if you ever look at the front of a space book, you see it's always a planet and then very close, these giant planets, you know, in the space or whatever. That's what people want to see and experience, something like that. You know, you can get to that planet instantly, not travel for 5 hours in endless space and then you get to it.
I think I got lost.
See, that's type of stuff. Like, that's fine.
Would you rather have fast travel to each planet?
No. Oh, you mean like warp gates? Is that what you're talking about? No. But I'm not saying traveling the planet. That's not my gripe. I'm saying the developer wanted it a certain way. He wanted these long traveling by yourself. You know, solitude.
Are you saying that there's dissension?
Right? He caved for the art design. He didn't cave for the multiplayer. He still wants you to kind of have that I'm single exploring. And that's fine to me for the first
30 minutes?
No. Like, first playthrough, maybe. Maybe first, like, I don't know what. If a game, average game is what, about 20 hours?
Oh, that's a game that you could get a solid, like, 40 out of, though. Okay. Like, by yourself. So, yeah, it's one of the, like, so give big, me that. The biggins type
give
of
give me that.
All right.
And then give me that option. Give me Grand Theft Auto. That solid single player by myself first. Then that option to go online and play with my friends what I just did by myself.
I kind of like the idea of one single world with us all scattered throughout it.
Yeah, it's one, well, not world, but
and
universe.
I think it would be, like, the main mission of the game will be creating, and that's to find your friends.
And, yeah. And eventually, that will be awesome. If that becomes some type of meta where people set it up to where you can do that, then it'll be awesome.
That was the top 5 list. All that and much, much more on nerdreactor.com. We will be at E3 next week, but expect a show anyways. Be good people.
Let me bang again, man.
Now go fuck yourselves.